If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Friday, the 2nd of August, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers BT results, Royal Bank of Scotland results, Majestic's wine, his strategy update, and also Goals Soccer Centre. His sad tale there. Also, Ross Mould, investment director at stockbroker AJ Bell, talks about Donald Trump's threat to increase trade tariffs on China and the following companies: Franchise Brands, Simply Biz, and 888 Holdings. And as always, don't forget, I have two lists: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of both these lists and loads of articles, podcasts, videos at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com. You all right, Chris?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Very good.
Excellent stuff. And lots of news out today. And first and foremost, what are you going with, Chris? Looking at the bigger cap stocks, what's happening?
It's got to be BT Group first. I mean, you and I have talked about this one loads of times, and I think we share a pretty similar view that there's a bit of value here. I think we were aggrieved with previous management and kind of enthused about the new guys that have come in, both at the chair and the CEO level. But, you know, we've been a bit confused over the fact they haven't cut the dividend or really commented that aggressively on the dividend, which seems at thick end of 8%, you know, a bit chunky and therefore a bit under threat, basically, given all of the other exciting things they can spend their money on. But anyway, today's first quarter statement, it's classic BT at some levels. Revenue and EBITDA, sort of an earnings measure, both down 1% year on year, so sort of sluggish growth. But, you know, you get under the hood, there's absolutely zero mentions of the dividend in the quarter one trading update. Yeah. You know, absolutely zero mentions. It's amazing. However, CapEx is going up. You know, they've said they're going to improve the network and the systems and people's perceptions towards, you know, BT broadband, the EE network and everything else. They are spending money there. There's no doubt about that. They are cutting costs as well, but CapEx is going up. Cash flow has deteriorated a bit, and the net debt line, you know, still remains material, basically. So, you know, it still seems to me as if the share price is kind of telling you there is a dividend cut coming. But of course, for BT, the big question is, can they remain, you know, super relevant? Sure, you know, they're always going to have a customer base. That's the power of incumbency, basically, historic incumbency. But I think for Philip Jansen, the new CEO, to really make an impact, he's got to start turning around the perceptions, you know, on broadband and on the integration of the e-business, which, frankly, they've owned for the thick end of 5 years. And, you know, I still don't get an integrated bill. I'm a BT, you know, broadband customer. I'm an EE mobile customer. I get two bills. It's crazy. You know, you should get one bill. So, you know, lots of things going on, moving parts and everything else. Shares are slightly down when I last looked. And obviously the share price chart looks a bit sick, you know, now sort of kicking around 190 pence, you know, below that kind of, I guess, you know, natural round number £2 support level. But I have to say, still a work in progress. I'm liking the tone of the new CEO, or the newish CEO. He took over sort of near the start of the year. I'm liking the tone from him. He's saying all the right stuff. I'm just amazed that they still haven't really commented on the dividend, because I think that would be a natural thing to do. You know, you're a new CEO, you get your feet under the table. He had his first set of results, you know, 3-4 months ago when he was the man. You know, I'd have thought they would have just halved the dividend, get that off the table, get a bit of cash in to help fund the capex push and go from there, really. But there you go, they haven't yet.
Do you know what, though? To a certain extent, I just think the CEO and the chairman have blown it here. They've really, they could have come in and really kitchen sinked it. And like I said, that dividend would have to go. Why didn't they just do that? Just try and clean the balance sheet up, try and reduce the debt, and, you know, don't pay a dividend. Like I said, the BT is having issues, major issues, had major issues. When they bring new people in, that's what they should do, shouldn't they? Should say, right, this is you know, full stop here, draw a line in the sand, we're going to sort this out. And I'm sorry, we, you know, a dividend is a luxury for a company like us at the moment with this kind of debt and the problems we got. Just get it sorted. And the fact that just the share price now has dipped below that £2 level, it's down to 190, and the chairman was buying above just on £2, they must be really annoyed, because what are they saying now? If they say now we're going to cut the dividends, say, well, what have you been doing for last, you know, since the chairman's been, why didn't you do it when you first came in? You should have known this. I mean, I just think they missed their opportunity there to really kitchen sink it.
I agree. I think you get, you know, to use a baseball or cricket analogy, you get a free hit basically when you're a new CEO. And they haven't done it for whatever reason. And I am surprised, but there you go. Sort of the drift on the share price continues. For what it's worth, you know, if I had to give a view, I own the stock and I think fundamentally it's cheap. I think the share should be 250p plus based on what I see in terms of earnings and everything else. However, you know, the dividend specter is overhanging it a bit. And I think you've just got to try and move on from that. And the way you move on is, you know, halving it, or as you say, Justin, suspending it short term and kind of saying, look, guys, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. This is what creates the future of the company. Because, you know, they're talking about good stuff, fast broadband, 5G. This is what you've got to talk about. If you're a telecoms name, you've got to be playing in those areas. That's what's going to generate your profits and your cash flow in a couple of years' time. You know, they've done it before. I remember, you know, back in the day, BT did do it. They played the transition to things like 3G very well and were rewarded with a £3 plus share price. But, you know, I'm afraid it's in the dim and distant past.
Yeah, I mean, when you come in there, you've got to make a bold move, haven't you? Really? Because at the moment, if you what do you stand for? So when you come in as a new CEO or new chairman, so he did this, like, fair play, like Tesco's, you know, Dave there. He's been bold in what he's done. His move's been quite bold, you know? And I just think the new guy's coming in here, there's nothing that stands out that I think, oh, fair play, they did that. Even if it's one thing you stand out for, you've got to do something. And to me, they're tinkering. They're probably doing more than tinkering, but make a bold move, you know, do something that you know is going to have a positive effect in the long term, not the short term. You know, you don't have the popularity really when you first come in, because you are, like I said, you've got a free hit. You've got plenty, a bit of time there to do something. And so do it straight away. But there we are. I think they missed the opportunity. What's next, Chris?
Well, got a quick one on RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland. Obviously, you know, perennial dog and everything else for the last 10 plus years. However, you know, they're playing a 12 pence special dividend. They announced that this morning. You know, that's not exactly, that's pretty good darts on a share price that's not that much above £2. So that's pleasant. They've got an interim dividend as well. They're ticking all their boxes on all of their metrics for this year on costs, on returns, on everything else. However, and there's always a however, they say, look, the environment remains tough. Obviously, interest rates remain very low. They find it hard to make money the way banks do because they need need a little bit of a positive yield curve and stuff like that. They're saying that their 2020 targets, they're just pulling back on a couple of those metrics, so they're more medium term than 2020 targets now. And, you know, that undoubtedly is overhanging the stock today, which when I last looked was down 4% odd. So, yeah, RBS, again, it's a bit like BT. There is probably value there, but you've got to believe. And you are picking at least a dividend up there, a special dividend in their case primarily, but a normal dividend as well now. But the trouble is, banks are a belief game. And, you know, we've seen this already this week with, let's say, numbers from Lloyds and other stocks. You've got to believe in banks. And obviously, it's wrapped up within bigger debates, you know, not just Brexit, but also, you know, the situation of banks in the broader economy and, you know, natural returns and stuff like that. Again, you know, it's funny, I was looking at these two stocks, BT and RBS, and I actually came to the same conclusion that both are worth actually 250p plus. And, you know, conceivably both are buys or accumulates, whatever you want to call it, prevailing levels. But, you know, that's from a value investor's perspective like I have. Today, you know, you can easily find reasons not to buy them. You know, that's you know, the market and the sector that they're in. But, you know, I do see a bit of value here. It is out of favour. And as I say, you know, special 12 pence dividend, not shabby at all.
Yeah, do you know what? Looking at the chart, they've just hit that sell-off we had at Q4 last year. They're at that level now, £2 or £2.5, that level. And so it literally, on the 12th of December last year, it bounced off £2, exactly £2 pretty much, and they're at £2.5 now. So it'll be interesting to see if that support level holds again, you know, because that was a global sell-off that happened. But, the share price is downtrend. It doesn't look very happy there. Like I said, they're trying to do all the right things, but the share price isn't reacting properly. And you just wonder, how big is the problems they had? Are they still trying to unravel? You know, it's just, they're still trying to get the bottom of it, you know, from the financial crisis. It's unbelievable, isn't it, really?
It is. I think they've moved on from that. It's just to think people are just, there's no believers, you know. Yeah. They think banks, utility stocks now, lower return, why bother, wrapped up with the economy. Yeah. If we ever get, you know, Bank of England's worst case scenarios on Brexit and everything else, then, you know, banks are gonna have a few new problems, right? So, you know, that's the thinking. So, you know, as always, a macro risk wrapped up into a company specific story.
Yeah, cool. What's next, Chris?
Well, another share price chart that's been a bit exciting over recent year or so, actually, has been Majestic Wine, which has the wonderful ticker WINE, W-I-N-E, which I think is fantastic. Anyway, it looks like a bit of a sort of a drunkard over the last year or so. But an interesting announcement this morning, they've basically gone exclusively online. They have the shops that everybody sees, some wholesale businesses, but then they've also got this Naked Wines business, which is online. And essentially what they've done is they've sold the retail business and the wholesale business to private equity for basically thick end of 100 million quid. They're going to pay back all their debt. They're going to give a small dividend to shareholders, a bit of working capital and the like. And they're going to become an online only company with this, under this, primarily this Naked brand. So,
I used to work in London. I used to travel to work. I used to work at Capital Radio. I used to travel to work. And I used to pass quite a few Majestic Wine shops. And even back then, and this was like, 2005, I often thought, how do those guys make money? Because they've got, obviously, the real estate there, the rates have to pay, the business rates and the employees there. And I think compared, because, you know, at the moment, you can go into a supermarket, and that's where most people do their shops, you know. And I suppose, I assume, if most people are going to buy a bottle of wine, they'll do it while they're buying the other stuff, the other foodstuffs, you know, everything else. And so how do they compete with the supermarkets? Because would you pop out especially, I suppose we have to be a little bit of a wine connoisseur, to pop out especially just to get a bottle of wine? Because I think most people do it with their shop, don't they? Their weekly shop at Tesco's. Yeah. I've always thought that, how do they survive, you know?
Yeah, no, I think they've always been quite clever in the sense that they've had mailing lists, and obviously they've had a reputation for quality and innovation and stuff like that. And as you say, it can be something people do pop out for, connoisseurs and the like. But I think for me, it's all about distribution in today's world. And the fact is they're switching. They decided to, you know, pull the plug effectively, sell the businesses in retail land and just go online only. Actually, I think it's relatively smart. We see the pressure in the retail world. They obviously have made a decision. They think a thick end of 100 million quid is suitable compensation, and they move on. I mean, as it happens, the shares have done very little on the announcement and still have that kind of slightly drunkard look to them. But they seem to be stabilising up a bit at prevailing levels. And I have to say, I applaud the structural shift. I would say, if you had to have a choice, do you want a burgeoning kind of online business, or do you want a fading retail one? Yeah. A physical retail one, I think you choose the former, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And I can see, I know it's quite the kind of bulky commodity to sort of ship, but I can see that being more effective because, you know, if you've got the wine connoisseur, I mean, the browsing element of being online appeals to them probably, you know, and actually reading reviews, taking your time, rather than actually go to the shop and having to read stuff. You can sit in a comfy chair and read the online reviews about different bottles of wine and order that way. You know, I see that as quite attractive, you know, compared to sort of just your average wine buyer who will probably buy it in the supermarket with the rest of their weekly shop, you know.
That's right. I agree. And what a ticker, eh?
Cool.
It's a good ticket. You can't forget that one, can you? Final one quickly is Bad Boy Goals Soccer Centres, which I have to say is a shocking announcement. They've actually said they're going to delist the company from the stock market. They've had all sorts of issues over the last little while in terms of an inability to state accounts, VAT problems. And when you dig into it, it looks as if actually these issues go back 6 or 8 years. And they sort of said in the same today that actually trading has been all right, but clearly if you can't put accounts out, if you've got the banks on your back, if you've got HMRC on your back, it's not a pucker business at all, is it? And I'm afraid
and
it does look like
in March, didn't they? Spent it in March, and now they've just sort of trying to get the bottom of this, and they update this saying basically what that there's a bigger problem than we thought. Is that the case here?
But essentially, yeah, if you can't put out a set of accounts, yeah, you know, within a certain period of time, then you have to delist, and essentially they can't do it now. You know, this is in a sort of the way that these things are. There'll be a blame game going on. And suffice to say, if you are the auditor, senior financial officers at the company or other important people there, then, you know, get your excuses in early, because somebody has not been looking at this one carefully. And it may have started as it looks if things like VAT has been important. Then there clearly has been sort of some failures in the application of sort of accounting codification and stuff like that. It may have started as a small issue, but it looks as if it's become an absolutely mega one cumulatively over 6 or 8 years, and an absolute shocker. So, you know, a complete own goal. You know, they've missed a sitter from like two yards or something like that. And yeah, absolute shocker.
Certainly not. It's not a hat trick, more like a vat trick.
That's right.
But you know what? I got to say, at the start of the RNS, the company regrets to announce that following ongoing detailed investigatory work into historic accounting policies and practices used by the company in the recognition of revenue and preparation for financial, it's been very recently evident that there's been improper behaviour within the company. And then below, just a few paragraphs down, they've got year-to-date sales across the 45 sites in the UK are on gross like-for-like basis are up 11.5%. But I'm straight away thinking, well, how can I believe that? You know, I mean, I don't know what to believe, you know.
That's it. Well, I guess if you're rocking up for your five aside, you don't know the finer points of their VAT, and they keep the sites open and business as usual. But yeah, at the head office level, an absolute shocker. And clearly, you'd have thought, basically, if it is a viable underlying business that ultimately gets sold to some other bidder, but yeah, in terms of the banks taking their cut, you know, debt being repaid, fines and other issues and whatever else, you know, shareholders are going to get nothing from this.
No, exactly. And I wonder what happens to, I mean, you know, you see a bit of blue collar, white collar, whatever it is, you know, sort of crime here, and it doesn't really get punished that greatly, is it? You know, defrauding, like, with, I don't know what happened with the guy from what's it called, Patisserie Valerie, has he gone down?
Well,
or what's going on there?
Well, that's still ongoing. Still ongoing. And yeah, obviously the CFO there, the ex-CFO there, is the guy primarily, allegedly, of course, in the firing line. There's a bunch of other people at certain historic relationships with the company who are also being investigated, questioned by the police. But you know, that is something that is going to occur in, you'd have thought in the next year or two. But let's face it, we can name other problem companies, issues, frauds, allegations by the SFO and others that are still waiting to come to trial. I'm afraid justice eventually catches up with them, but it can be a slow process.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff, Chris. Thanks for that. And we'll catch up next week, fella. Thanks a lot.
Sounds a good plan.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Russ Mould, Investment Director at stockbroker AJ Bell. You all right, Russ?
I'm very well, Justin. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, it's pretty lively in the market here. I'm looking at the indices here. We got the FTSE down like 2%, DAX down 2.7%. And it's all thanks to... Why is this happening, Russ?
Well, I think the major reason is President Donald Trump appears to have lost patience with how the negotiations with China are going over trade. So having promised a deal after Buenos Aires G20 last November and then said there'll be a deal shortly after Osaka G20 in Japan in June, that's all gone sour. And Trump has now announced an extra $300 billion of Chinese goods will be subject to tariffs of 10%. That adds to $250 billion that are already subject to a 25% levy. So this has restoked all of the fears about global trade, global growth, and the damage that this could potentially do to the global economy. And that's why you're seeing particularly sensitive, cyclically sensitive sectors like banks, industrials, miners getting hit particularly hard. I think that's the major reason why. The other reason is the Federal Reserve did cut interest rates on Wednesday, but it then didn't really promise much after that. It said that, you know, this was maybe just a mid-cycle adjustment. It didn't then promise that the string of rate cuts that the market was expecting, although I suspect you still might get them. And also, let's face it, indices had a huge run anticipating that Fed rate cut. So it was a classic example of buying the rumour and selling the fact.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting, isn't it? I wonder if it'll... Because everyone agrees, it's a threat, because, of course, it comes in force on the 1st of September.
Yep.
So I'm just hoping what he's gonna push them to the table again and hopefully get a deal done by this, because I don't suspect he wants this to happen, because, you know, he always champions the stock market whenever it goes to a new high. And like I said, it fell off a cliff yesterday when he announced this. So I'm hoping he gets a deal done, because... He lives or dies on that stock market, really, doesn't he? He talks about jobs and all that.
He talks about it an awful lot. And to be fair, if you look at the chart, you draw US consumer confidence, the monthly data from the Conference Board, and draw it against the Dow Jones or the S&P 500, the two lines do track each other. Now, causation is not correlation and vice versa, but you do get the impression that if the US stock market was to wobble and people would start seeing that their net wealth go down, that could potentially start to take the stock market with it. So the two do seem to be somewhat interlinked, dare one say.
Yeah, cool. Oh, what's the general thoughts on, are we hearing the R word, come about again? Is it being mentioned more often, the recession word?
I wouldn't say more often. I think it's clearly a concern, and we've had some very soft manufacturing PMIs this week. The American construction data has been very spotty. The trade flow numbers are patchy. And what's been catching my eye with the UK banks this week is, RBS today is down, even though it's announced a special dividend. Lloyds didn't go up this week. Barclays did a little bit. But if you look at the banks' numbers, what they're showing is an increase in loan losses. Now, from very low levels, nothing like what we were seeing 10, 12 years ago, but it does feel as if we sort of passed the bottom for the loan impairment cycle and that loan losses are starting to go up. Something you do tend to see towards the later end of a cycle. So I think that's one particularly interesting trend, which isn't a great one. The other thing that RBS flagged today was that, they weren't seeing a lot of commercial lending and they were trying really hard to lend. They were seeing an increase in commercial deposits, which would suggest that companies are hoarding cash. Now, whether that's because of Brexit, whether that's because of the R word, the B word, whatever. But again, if corporates aren't spending, they aren't investing, they're sticking their cash in the bank, even though they're getting nothing on it. Again, that's not necessarily a great sign. So I think you can ask plenty of questions right now. And I think this comes back to the big issue that we've discussed a few times in the past few weeks. Yeah. Markets may need to be careful what they wish for when it comes to a Fed rate cut. Because why is the Fed cutting rates is the question. Now, you assume that it's because they're a bit nervous about the economy. Well, if you look at the last two rate cutting cycles, 2001 to 3 and 2007 to 9, the Fed slashed rates and it did not stop a recession and it did not stop a bear market. So markets just need to be a little bit careful what they're wishing for when it comes to the Fed cutting rates and why.
Mm, yeah. part of me thinks there's a disjoint here between, I know we have seem to be having decent employment numbers. I know that's a bit of a lag factor, but
that's
in the background,
that's the best point to make there. Yeah, there, it's a lagging indicator. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but then everything else seems a bit bearish. You know, everything, all the numbers come out seem bearish. Everyone's a bit worried about global trade and all this stuff. But and then we got to employment's looking good. But I think, well, okay, I have to assume that's lagging, and everything else is.
It is.
Actual fact, we are a bit, you know, it's not as rosy the picture as we think, or as the employment figures show. You know?
Well, I think you're right. You know, you look at any firm, how long does it take them to feel confident enough to hire somebody, then go through a rather tedious process of choosing the right candidate? It takes months. Mm-hmm. So it is a lagging indicator, and I think that's where we need to be a little bit careful with those numbers. The lead indicators like PMIs do look weak. The concurrent indicators like retail sales, to be fair, are actually holding up pretty well, but industrial production is patchy, factory orders are patchy. Construction activity is mixed. So yeah, I think the leading indicators are soft, the concurrent indicators are okay, it's the lagging indicators that read best, which, yeah, it does make you a little bit nervous.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go from the macro to the micro. What are we looking at, Russ? What stocks?
So, small cap wise, we'll look at franchise brands and also Simply Biz. And for Simply Biz, we've looked at before. And then on the income side, because let's face it, with interest rates going back down in the US, in fact, I think we've now had 44, 45 major central bank interest rate cuts this year after the US, Turkey, Brazil, and Russia in the last week against about 10 increases. And with interest rates going down, you know, the old income issue remains as burning as ever. So the income stock for this week is actually 888.
Wow, okay, cool. All right, well, let's go to the first one then.
Which, so franchise brands. FRAN on AIM, roughly a 70 million market cap stock, Macclesfield headquarters. We looked at it back in May, and the shares actually haven't done an awful fat lot since. Remember, it's a franchise operator. Yeah. You know, it owns the franchises, then it charges fees to the and startup costs and license fees to the franchisees. Yes. And it does things like Metro Rod, which is drain unblocking, Metro Plum, Chips Away, which is a car repair service, and Barking Mad, which is a dog walking service. Now, what caught my eye about this initially is it's run by Stephen Hemsley Nigel Ray, the ex-Domino's pizza people. So they know all about what they don't know about franchising, frankly, isn't worth knowing. Yeah. They're investing in Metro Rod and IT particularly heavily right now. And the first half results at the end of July, when you were on holiday and I was just back, they beat forecasts very handily. Thank you very much indeed. Sales up 20%. Their preferred metric of profit, EBITDA, was up 44%. Service fees were up 25%, which looks well and good. They're continuing to invest in software. They've got Sage in, so they're reducing their debtors, making sure they get paid more quickly. Big increase in the interim dividend, which is well covered. And the one thing about it is it isn't massively cheap, on about 19 times forward earnings, 16 times for next year. Yields about 1%, but it does feel as if earnings momentum is going to be strong and that you're dealing with people who know exactly what they're doing. So we'll keep on running with it.
Yes. What's your personal opinion on EBITDA then?
I'm not wildly in love with it, I think it's fair to say. I wouldn't necessarily use the Buffett terminology, which is, you know, quasi-fraudulent, but I think it is earnings before bad stuff. In the end, the D and the A is going to come if you acquire, and the D is going to come if you've got assets, and you can't ignore those as costs of the business. Yes. I accept it's a cash flow proxy, but I'd much rather rely on free cash flow for that, quite frankly. So I'm not in love with EBITDA, and it does always make me think of the Buffett thing. If I can't remember the exact quote, you'll have to bear with me, but it's something along the lines of, you know, be very, very wary of companies who talk about pro forma and EBITDA, because he said that's a little bit like me playing golf and then only counting my scores going up to the putting green and then excluding my course score on the putting green. It does make me a better golfer. It just makes the numbers look better. And so I think, yeah, I am slightly wary of that, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, it does flatten, doesn't it? It does flatten.
Yeah.
It enhances,
it does.
You know, rather than...
It
it's
does.
Not the actual full picture at all. So, yeah.
No.
I mean, why would you use that?
A bit wary.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's a reason, right? And it's to make things look better. So I completely take on board.
I suppose you can look at it when you get a company that's gone, you know, starting out, a new company, and they're going, you know, loss-making, and they start to break even EBITDA, and then they will get profitable tax then. But I mean, I suppose it's not the full picture for a you know,
established
company.
I would much rather look at operating profit and pre-tax profit and free cash flow myself, I have to say.
Yes, cool. Okay, next one is Simply Biz.
SBIZ on AIM. It's not done much again since we looked at it a few months ago. It's gone from kind of £2.15p to £2. 200 million cap, Huddersfield based. This is a provider of compliance and business services to IFAs and financial institutions, helping them win more customers, keep those customers, look after them better and provide them with more services. And this is to help IFAs fill the gap that the big banks have generally left behind for things like helping people work out pension freedoms, inheritance tax planning and so on. Financial advice, as we know, is a difficult area. The rules keep changing and the banks are somewhat frightened of some of the legal liabilities involved, particularly when potential legal liabilities involved, given that the FCA is taking a very close eye right now on issues like advice that's been given to people over direct benefit and defined contribution pension schemes. So SimplyBiz looks after these people, and trading statements come out and it looks perfectly solid enough. Revenue's up 20%. Again, they use the EBITDA word up 30, so I'm keeping an eye on that. The one thing that did catch my eye was it looks as if a lot of that growth has come from the acquisition, and they did say that there was organic growth, but they didn't quantify how much, which may be why the share price is going nowhere at the moment, because you have seen some strong organic growth in the past. They did stick to their forecast of a dividend for this year, and it's on about 16 times forward earnings. It feels like it's in a good place, but I'm just keeping an eye on the absence of the data on organic growth, because if there was a slowdown there, that could be potentially taken quite badly. But it feels like it's a sensible company in a sensible place at a sensible time.
Yeah, and do you know what? That sensibility, I mean, very sensible, like you say, in a very sensible arena, but they've gone with Simply Biz, spelt incorrectly, trying to give it a bit of a wackiness.
You didn't like that last time, because
when you started mentioning that, yes, you know what, in a very dry, sensible business, but yet they've gone with Simply Biz with a Z on the end just to make it a bit wacky and a bit crazy. Cool. Marvellous stuff. Yeah, it's rolling over the chart there, though.
Well, I think this issue of the organic growth is possibly why I'm keeping a very close eye on it.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right.
And the last one, income.
Yeah,
888, whose ticket is 888. Yeah. 600 million cap stocks, FTSE small cap, and it is a gambling service provider. Simple as that. And like most gambling services stocks, it's been clocked pretty heavily. Yeah. There's been a big regulatory crackdown. There's been points of sales taxes. They've had to tighten their controls for Know Your Customer, tighten up on money laundering, which in some cases may have affected higher yielding customers. We saw Ladbrokes Coral get fined for not having adequate ML checks just this week, actually, by the regulator. So, and what 888 is doing is it's actually shifting its model in result away from B2B gambling services and relying on big high rollers to moving into mass market casinos and sports betting, both of which are still growth markets. They still need all of those checks, by the way, but it has its own proprietary platform to start, you know, getting stuck into the global casino market, which is fractured, very, very low penetration. And also it just bought a bookmaker called BetBright in the United Kingdom. So it in theory, if this transformation pans out, there should be plenty of cash flow. It's got a dividend yield of 5% already, 1.5 times covered. Not buying's not as well covered as you would like, but it's got a very, very leverageable platform. There should be good operational gearing as customers come in through the door, and as cash flow starts to flow, that will make the dividend yield look even safer. So I think it's one of those stocks that the yield of 5% probably could be a little bit safer than people think it is.
Yeah, interesting, because their share price in July hit it hasn't seen that level since October 2014. So
there you go.
It's at a historic low, pretty much. It's bounced from 127, that was a low, to 150. So hopefully we've seen a bottom here, who knows?
Fingers crossed, we will see.
Marvellous, Ross. Any plans for the weekend?
It's Pride weekend in Brighton, so it's utter chaos.
Yeah, so you'll be dressing up on a float, will you?
No, I won't. I've got a friend whose firm is the lead sponsor, and he's been offered a chance to sit on a float and he's turned it down. But I think he has got tickets to see Carnie Minogue tomorrow night, so there you go. Could be worse.
Marvellous stuff. Cheers, Russ.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Way Education. That's WEY. Good video, actually, on the homepage there, voxmarkets.co.uk, with Jacqueline, the CEO. At four, Bidstack Group, down 4.6% today, 31 pence. At three, Emotion Group. Now, that's what I call skin in the game. The directors, okay, of Emotion have bought 190 grand's worth of stock after the placing in the open market yesterday, because they regard it as a good investment, full stop. And I like that. And this is adding to their holdings. They have substantial holdings already. And so I just say to any other company CEO that doesn't have any skin in the game, take note by these guys in motion. It's IMO. 6.95 is their price there. Up only just under 1%. But the market today, big sell-off, you know, over 2% down the FTSE. I think DAX in Germany is down 2.7%. So it's against the flow today, which is good. At 2, Avoca Bio, OVB. And the number one most followed company is Polarian Imaging, P-O-L-X. I've covered them on the video a few times. Had a good rise of late. Having a bit of a pullback today, down sort of 9%. But like I say, you know, on pullbacks, if you've done your research, that's the opportunity. It's the wrong way around, isn't it? The psychological moves in your head compared to the stock market. You know, that's when it goes down, that's a good time to buy. When it goes up, if you're going to sell. Like I say, buying it down there, sell on an up day. I can't talk. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. At 5, Dignity PLC, notification of major holdings. At 4, Integumin, that's Harland's Natural Resources agreement with Cellulac. At 3, Blue Rock Diamonds, crushing circuit upgrade completed. At 2, Hummingbird Resources, Q2 2009 update. It's an improvement there from Hummingbird. And number 1 is also linked to Integumin. It's Highlands Natural Resources agreement to supply CBD to Cellulac, which is obviously partly owned or by Integumin. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk. And by all means, you know, if you like the app, Vox Markets app, don't forget, if you could go to your app store and give us a decent rating and review, that would be muchus appreciatus.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.